begin by stating that earlier today, literally within the last hour, the American Le Mans Series announced that it is going to partner with Ethanol Promotion and Information Council, known as EPIC, to make E10 the official ethanol-enriched fuel of the American Le Mans Series. Now, the American Le Mans Series is the first major racing series to use what is described as a street-legal ethanol-enriched fuel for all of its teams, with the exception of the Audi diesel, of course. And you will be receiving an email with this release a little bit later on in the afternoon about the partnership. Over the next 30 minutes or so, we are fortunate to have the principals who were had participated in this press conference at Ray Hall Letterman Race Shop now with us to share a few comments and insights regarding the significance of this announcement and answer any questions that you may want to ask. So I'm going to introduce the three principals first, and we will ask them a question each and then open it up to some question and answers. When we do that, I would like, when you ask a question, please identify who you are and the organization you're with again and direct the question to the particular individual that you want to ask. First, on the list will be from EPIC, its executive director, Tom Salonica. Tom, nice to have you with us today.
Thank you.
Next, we will have from the American Le Mans Series, President and CEO Scott Atherton. Glad you made it safely, Scott.
Thank you, Bob.
And also from Ray Hall Letterman, principal and owner Bobby Ray Hall. So those are three people who were going to be participating. And I'd like to start with you, Tom, first. Will you please just explain a little bit about the partnership with EPIC and the American Le Mans Series and how it will work?
I'd be happy to. On behalf of the U.S. ethanol producing members of the Ethanol Promotion Information Council, I'd like to just state that today is a very important day for the continuation of the promotion of ethanol to all consumers. American Le Mans is truly a world-class organization, and when a group like this embraces ethanol in its many forms of racing vehicles, it really puts the explanation point on the fact that ethanol performs. Most consumers understand that ethanol is a good fuel for our environment and for our economy, but to really demonstrate its ability to perform in all types of cars is the importance of the American Le Mans joining with us in this arrangement. So from a technical aspect as well as a promotional aspect, the ethanol industry is proud to partner with American Le Mans today.
Great, Tom. Thank you for your comments. Tom will have a chance to answer a few questions in a minute. For those of you who are looking for a spelling on Tom's last name, it's S-L-U-N, as in Nancy, E-C-K-A. That will be in the information you get later, but for those of you who are taking notes, I wanted you to have the proper spelling of Tom's name right now. Scott, tell us a little bit about the significance of this partnership for the American Le Mans Series.
Well, I consider this another perfect fit for the platform that is the American Le Mans Series. And most of the people on this call today are very familiar with how we have positioned the series as being the most relevant form of motorsport, in that the cars that are competing in the American Le Mans Series have direct links back to their manufacturers and, in many cases, directly back to the showroom. So when you look at the practical application of ethanol in this form, you know, unlike, I believe, any other application to date, this really has a direct link to the consumer. You know, the same fuel, which in our case we will be starting with an E10 blend, so 10% ethanol in our gasoline, this is, in many markets around the country, already what is coming out of the fuel pumps. So as we've often described, the American Le Mans Series providing a direct link for our manufacturers, the link from the racetrack to the showroom, I think today we've established another direct link, and that is from the racetrack to the fuel station.
Great. Thank you, Seth. Bobby, just talk a little bit about what this partnership means for race teams within the American Le Mans Series, and specifically Ray Hall Letterman, which I think had some news of its own today, if you'd like to share that with us, please.
Well, we are. We're very pleased to have announced an expansion of our commercial relationship with Epic and ethanol into the American Le Mans Series with our Porsche RSR. You know, when we certainly are, we're pleased to see Epic and ethanol want to join into the ALMS Series by itself, let alone in association with us. I think the reasoning, for me at least, is truly, I think, you know, ALMS is maybe the only series left where technical innovation is promoted and, in fact, recommended by the teams and by the manufacturers and what have you. So bringing ethanol into that mix is only the right thing to do, because it's been proven in the IRL. Certainly there's been no drop-off in performance by the cars switching, in fact, this year to 100% ethanol. So I think that message needs to get out, and particularly needs to get out through the ALMS because of its relevance to the street market. And, of course, that's very much a reason why we entered the American Le Mans Series in the beginning, was because of that relevance. So I think this is just a continuation of that, an expansion of that, and we're pleased to see the ALMS join with Epic and the ethanol industry, and obviously we're pleased to represent ethanol in this new venue for the two of us.
This is John Thalley with TrackBytes.com. Bobby, could you just expand? You weren't real clear. Your relationship. Epic is sponsoring your car and your team?
Well, Epic and the ethanol industry is joining with us as an associate sponsor on our Porsche program. Of course, Bell Micro is our primary sponsor. We also had good news today in the Gale. The Gale Company, which sponsored my son Graham last year, is also an IRL associate of ours, has expanded into ALMS with us as well. So, a couple of pieces of good news for us. But yeah, we're pleased to, as I say, we've had a very, even though last year was a tough year for everybody with Rahal Letterman and with ethanol, the year, you know, the relationship was got stronger and stronger as the year went on. And so I'm particularly pleased that Tom and his council and the ethanol group as a whole chose to join with us, and where we became sort of an additional aspect of their ALMS commitment.
A question for Tom from Tom Chose, Murphy Communications. The Epic website features a prominent permanent link to the IndyCar series. Will you do a similar link soon to the LMS?
Yes, absolutely. As a league sponsor with the LMS, we're very proud of that relationship, and we hope to help drive new fans to the racing series. And equally important is their website's linkage back to more information about ethanol, so that every consumer can get a taste of that ALMS performance each and every time they fill up.
This is Ken May with Racing Fanatics. A follow-up question to Tom on that, on Tom Chose's question. What type of promotion will you be doing during the race week to make sure the fans that are at the track and are watching on TV understand the importance of today's announcement?
Well, our promotions will include some television advertising, some radio, some print. We've also come to customize pump promotions, so we'll go in advance of races and help to drive ticket sales before each and every race. It's all about activation. It's all about experiential marketing, and there's no better way to activate on that kind of platform than to do it through racing.
This is Tom Chose. You already identified in the in a competitor bulletin that the next fuel will likely be an E50, and that's enigmatically termed fall 2007. Can we anticipate an entry on E50 this season?
I honestly don't know. There have been many discussions that have been held with multiple manufacturers. Again, you know me well enough that when it's not our announcement to make, we don't make it. And we'll wait for the manufacturers to individually, you know, make their plans known in this category.
Follow up for Bobby then. Do you anticipate a Porsche will run well on 50?
On 50% or on the current situation?
I mean, no, 50%. I'm looking for that one.
Well, I think when the time comes, you know, when we get to that point, certainly. You know, obviously there has to be some level of equivalency, which is, I understand, Le Mans is working with, and in terms of fuel tank capacity versus types of fuel and what have you, because there's got to be, you know, obviously gasoline is has got greater energy, pure, you know, in and of itself. But if the time comes, there's no question. I mean, heck, IRL are running 100% this year. So, and by the testing times at Sebring, doesn't seem to me that there's been any fall off in performance, or at Daytona, I should say, there doesn't seem to have been any fall off in performance whatsoever. But when we get to that point, obviously the engines have to be developed or tuned to the fuel to the mixture that will be in effect at that point in time.
Hey, Bobby, this is Greg with Speed Channel, and I agree with your last comment completely and your earlier comment about ALMS being perhaps one of the few remaining venues for racing where you can actually attempt to make some high-technology changes. But one of the things, and I'm not high-technology knowledgeable to any great degree, but one thing that I do hear frequently said is that running ethanol in an engine does degrade engine components more so than other fuels. In your testing, and anybody else that wants to answer this, has that been a concern for you and for the ALMS folks, any of the manufacturers expressing concerns on that?
Well, I mean, we've had to deal with that in Indy cars forever.
Right.
You know, in terms of the corrosiveness of first, it was, you know, methanol. You know, ethanol doesn't seem to be as bad, but and of course, in this case, where it's, you know, 10-90-10, I don't think it has any effect whatsoever. But when you start to get up into certainly 100%, you know, yeah, I mean, you have to be, you have to just, you know, shut the engine down a certain way. You know, do what we call pickling it, where you run gasoline through it. Which it doesn't like in terms of running, but it cleans the system out. So it's no big deal. You just have to account for it. That's all.
Bob, David Phillips from Racer. I wondered if you could as you did back in Detroit at the SAE conference, maybe elaborate some on your feelings about the the need for auto racing in general to be more in line with the manufacturers and to be part of the relevant development, sort of, so to speak.
Right. Well, I definitely think it has to not that racing shouldn't be or has never been entertainment. It's always been entertainment, but it's had much more of a connection to the technical side, I think, than as of late with many, many series. I mean, if you look at NASCAR, it's a great, it's great in terms of entertainment, but I can't see very much the connection between what's racing and what's actually being produced, in Toyota, Dodge, Chevrolet, or Ford, for that matter. I think, the thing, as I said today to the people at our press conference, is that our RSR is built on the same assembly line up to a certain point as your everyday street Porsche. At a certain point, the suspension gets changed a bit here and there and the body work and what have you, but the basic structure and a lot of the basic systems are no different. And I think the thing that makes Le Mans itself and the ALMS intriguing is the fact that technical development is welcomed and actually promoted. Look what's going on at Le Mans. You know, this year now you have Peugeot going after Audi. On diesel powered. You've had alternative fuel powered vehicles at Le Mans before that maybe a lot of people haven't heard about, but they're really they were the pioneers in this. And so, I mean, we think that, as I said in Detroit and I've said elsewhere, we think the relevance of the ALMS to the street market is a key factor in our making the move to it. And I think now that companies like Ethanol or groups like Ethanol, the Ethanol Group or what have you,
are coming in. I think that just sort of bears witness to that, and I think it's important. And I think it's important for people in this country, let alone, you know, outside of it, to see that alternative fuels can work in applications where there's been some question about that. And if you, you know, I mean, let's face it, the reality is gasoline-powered racing is a dinosaur. I mean, that is going away and going away rapidly. I noticed there was some announcement about a liquid hydrogen-powered series happening in 2009 or 10, I think it was. And so you're going to see more and more of this because of the necessity for it and because of the for the sporting reasons as well.
Barry Foster, Cohan Radio and Sebring. How has racing changed the R&D in ethanol? How has that changed the makeup of the component of the fuel?
Well, I think that, you know, ethanol has always been ethanol, and the product that we produce in our facilities that we provide to the average consumer is identical to the product that is provided into the race industry. I think that all of automotive products are tested under race conditions, and maybe ethanol is a bit behind that. However, when we think about it, I guess it all got its roots back in the Kentucky Hills. So, the product that we'll be running in the American Le Mans Series as well as in the Indy Series is the same product, maybe different blend applications, but the same product that you can put in your vehicle today.
Hi, Bobby. It's Dave Caldwell from the New York Times.
Hi, Dave.
I have a kind of a general question that you just talked about 2 minutes ago about sort of the general, you know, obviously, as you know, the IRL is moving to ethanol and also NASCAR is moving to unleaded, which is, you know, a little less advanced, but right. But still it shows that there's more greening of this sport than there used to be. How important is that to sort of get across to the consumer?
Well, I think it's very important because I think it's absolutely critical that, and this is where motorsports, you know, at one point in time, motorsports could take the lead in regards to a lot of technology that would trickle down to the everyday streetcar. Today, the technology of everyday streetcar is more often than not more sophisticated than that you can find on any race car. So it's important that this is an opportunity, and it's the right opportunity for motorsports to provide value to the automotive industry, to sort of reverse, you know, the last, I don't know, 20 or 30 years, I suppose. And whatever the alternative fuel may be, now is the time to put it into application that will be the precursor of what we'll see, you know, a decade from now or what have you. And, you know, ethanol is leading the charge right now. But, you know, as everybody knows, there's other opportunities out there as well. But now's the time to sort of to take the lead on it, and I think motorsports has got a great opportunity in front of it.
Lyon's wondering what the difference in weight will be of the fuel. And not only the E10, but if you get up to E100, what is there any difference in the weight?
The specific gravity on an E10 basis will be very slight. I think that the weight difference will be determined upon the fueling times that are required for pit stops and tire rotation. And as in the Indy League, they have shrunk the size of the fuel cell because of increased fuel economy over methanol. And I think a lot of further testing will have to occur before we can give a weight analysis as to the difference.
Tom, this is Cindy Zimmerman with DomesticFuel.com. Could you elaborate a little bit more on the audience that you hope to reach through the Le Mans series as opposed to the IndyCar series? How does this broaden the audience for the consumer audience for ethanol?
Well, certainly there are some differences in the consumer base of or fan base of each of these leagues, and I think that that's crucial to ethanol's advancement is to be able to reach new and differing audiences. Ethanol, when tested with consumers, still has a long ways to go for relevance within homes and purchase decisions. And our goal in working with racing leagues, especially world-class racing leagues like American Le Mans, is is to demonstrate to the influencers, the car enthusiasts and the mechanics, that there is no fear of using ethanol in your average vehicle. We watch it win on the weekends, and we can fill up with it on Monday on the way to work.
This is Greg again. It would seem to me that in this, you know, Bobby had made the comment earlier about, you know, in certain cases, especially nowadays, fairly frequently, your street road technology even is higher than that found in some racing series. But on that issue of you know, degradation of engine parts and the like, this would seem a great opportunity, like we've seen in the Indy League, to be able to work on that under high-stress environments and to really prove to people that you can get performance out of ethanol without damaging automotive components, and get that word out that this is a very viable green fuel for the future, and maybe open up doors for a lot of other opportunities. Does that sort of encompass a lot of what we're talking about here?
From my perspective, from the ethanol perspective, absolutely. There's over 6 million vehicles on the road today that are capable of running E85. Those engine parts components are really no different than those that are able to run E10, which is every vehicle that has been built and sold in the United States since 1980. So the corrosiveness of ethanol within a race engine versus the corrosiveness of ethanol in the average passenger vehicle is really apples to oranges. Ethanol is proving, especially right now in the Indy platform, that with higher compression, we're actually getting greater low-end torque. It burns cooler, so there's less engine wear, and actually compared to petroleum-based products, it's cleaner and generates longer engine life in average vehicles. But all of these things, you know, can be tested in universities and automotive labs all across the country. But until we see it on Sunday, winning a race, there's still a lot of information to be transferred.
Well, exactly. And a quick follow-up, but I'm a huge ethanol fan, so don't misunderstand me. But for the average consumer, I hear it all the time, talking to somebody about, boy, don't buy anything with the ethanol in it. It's so hard on the engines. And that it just seems like that's something that's going to be a little difficult to overcome, and a high-performance and high-visibility platform like this in the Indy League, et cetera, just seems to be a great, pardon the pun, vehicle to be able to do that with.
Oh, we hope that you're right. that's our goal in being here, and really you'll start to see the green of racing all across many, many leagues, and you'll start to see several major fuel distributors handling ethanol blends. You know, we've got a lot of work to do. Right now we're 4.5% of the U.S. fuel supply. We'd like to be much, much more, and so if awareness and promotion can keep pace with production, I think our economy and our environment's future can be much brighter.
If no one has another question, I am going to make one more comment here in regard to everything that we're talking about, and that is that early next week, IMSA and the American Le Mans Series does expect to announce a specific racing fuel. Understand that EPIC is creating this platform to develop the ethanol blends over the course of the next year or so. But early next week, we will be announcing a specific race fuel that we'll be aligned with, and expect to see a media advisory on that within the next couple of days.